We're there in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, and I'd like to bring your attention to the first part of verse number 9. There is a phrase there which says this, two are better than one. The Bible says two are better than one. And the Bible teaches in this passage here that it is not good for us to be alone. In fact, he says, if there's only one of you, it would be better that there were two of you. Now, keep your finger there in Ecclesiastes, because we're going to come right back to it. But let me show you a verse in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 2. This is a very well-known verse. Genesis is the first book in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter number 2. Look at verse number 18. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 18, the Bible says this, and the Lord God said, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now, the context of this verse is primarily marriage. If you notice, it says, it's not good that the man should be alone. God was referring to Adam. He says, I will make him and help me for him. The primary application is that it's good for a man to get married because God created Eve as an helpmeet for Adam. But the principle is there, and you can go back to Ecclesiastes, that it's not good for us to be alone. It's not good for a man to be alone. If there's only one of you, two are better than one. And the idea is this, that God created us for community. God did not create us to be these lone rangers. God did not create us to be individuals. God created us to be connected and to be in a community. The definition of the word community means a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. And God, the Bible says, when it comes to human beings, when it comes to that first man, he said it's not good for a man to be alone. And he created a wife for him. He created a helpmeet. And Ecclesiastes, you know, the wisest man who ever lived, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, Solomon said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he wrote these words. He said, two are better than one. He said, it's better to be in company. It's better to be in community. It's better to be in a group than to be out alone by yourself. And here's what you got to understand. We were created for community. There is something in us, there is something in you, there is something in every human being that desires to be connected, that desires to be engaged, that desires to be in relationship with other people. That's why things like Facebook are so popular today. You know, because what is Facebook? It's allowing you to connect with, and social media is popular today. Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram. I don't even know what half of those things are. I had to look them up. But, those things are so popular today. Why? Because it allows us to be connected. And by the way, you know, that's something that God put in all of us. There's something in us when God would look down at Adam and say, hey, it's not good for you to be alone. He said two is better than one. And today, there are all sorts of things out in our world that try to engage us into community. Sports teams are big. There's baseball teams and football leagues and basketball leagues and soccer leagues. And some of you may be in bowling leagues. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being in a bowling league. But what I'm saying is this. The reason that these things are so popular today is because there's something in us that desires to be connected, that desires to be engaged. You've got fraternities. You've got sororities. You've got the Moose Lodge and the Elk Lodge and the Masonic Lodge. Good night. You know, you've got all sorts of clubs for all sorts of different things, right? And, you know, if you drive this certain type of motorcycle, we've got a club for you. If you drive this certain type of car, we've got a club for you. If you like hiking, we got a club for you. If you like, you know, sitting on the couch and doing nothing, we've got Facebook for you. You know, if you, whatever you want, you know, that's what we have. It, because there's something in us that desires to be connected. There was a show a long time ago. I don't watch TV. I don't even own a TV. And this was way before my time. But some of you, you know, watched a show that had to do with a bar. Remember? And I know that the song said, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, right? And the idea is this. We have a desire to be connected into a group. If you have a certain hobby, there's a group for you. If you've got a certain, you know, thing you like, there's a group for you. Even these massive multiplayer online games, these World of Warcraft type games, you know, what's so interesting about it? Well, what's interesting for a lot of people is that it allows you to connect with individuals. And here's the thing. We were created for community. We were created to have a desire to be connected, to be engaged into a group. That's something that God placed in all of us. But here's the problem. with all of the world's groups of connection. I'm not saying that a bowling league is wrong. But the problem with the groups that the world provides, and what we honestly like about those groups, is that they provide community with no accountability. See, we like community, we don't like accountability. We like to be engaged, but we don't want to have to answer anybody. We want to have friends, but we don't want to have to help anyone or reach out to anyone or befriend anyone or be there for anyone. And by the way, we don't want anybody to be there for us. We don't want anybody to know, you know, what we're doing. We don't want anybody to be upset when we're missing. We don't want anybody. And the problem with the world's communities is that it allows friendships and media, you know, the social media allows friendships. It allows that environment. But it's community with no accountability. And we like community, but we don't like accountability. If you look down at your text this morning, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, God explains to us that the best part of community is not fellowship. Although fellowship is big, fellowship is key. Study the book of Acts when it talks about the church gathering together, and a key component of that was the fellowship. But the Bible teaches us that the best part of being engaged in a community, the best part of not being alone, the best part of two is the fact that it requires and it gives you someone to be accountable to and someone to be to have to answer to. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look at verse 9. Now notice what the Bible says. Two are better than one. You see your semicolon there? And he says, because. Now, he's about to explain to us why two is better than one. And over the next four verses there, from verses 9 through 12, he explains to us why two are better than one. And I'd like you to notice the reasons that two are better than one and the reason that it is good to be engaged in a community. Look at verse number 9 there. Two are better than one. Why? Here's why. Because they have a good reward for their labor. Do you see that? Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. There's a famous quote. I think it was Aristotle. I don't know. It's definitely a worldly source, but there's a quote. And it's interesting that even the world acknowledges this. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Who's ever heard that before? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And that's not a philosophy that came from the Bible, but that's basically what the Bible is teaching here. And here's the idea, that we can accomplish more together. You and I can accomplish more together if we work together than we could accomplish if we worked separately and then added our efforts. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I decide I'm going to try to do everything I can for God alone, and you're going to try to do everything you can for God alone, and that person over there is going to try to do everything they can for God alone, and at the end of our lives, we took everything that I did for God, everything that you did for God, everything that they did for God, and added it together, we would actually do more if we just decided to all three work together. We would accomplish more for God. That's what Ecclesiastes 4:9 is saying. Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. We will accomplish more for the glory of God. We will see more people saved. We'll see more people baptized. We'll see more marriages changed, more lives transformed. If you and I were to engage and get connected and become a community and work together. See, here's what you got to understand. The benefits of community, the benefits of being in a group, is that a group can step up your efforts. You will accomplish more by being connected and engaged in a group than you will by yourself. Why? Because the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And you know that's true. In the month of January, I was telling my wife as we were driving to church, in the month of January, we had almost, and these are just the people that have actually taken the time to write on their communication card, that they, some of you have told me that you finished, but you didn't write on your communication card, and I'm going to do my best to try to remember you, but I'm not going to feel bad if your name doesn't go on the plaque either, okay? Because I asked you to put it on the card because I need to see it. Sometimes I've got a lot of things on my mind. I'm just kind of putting it out there. But I was counting this morning the people that have signed the communication card telling me that they finished the New Testament in the month of January. We had almost 40 people in our church read the New Testament in the month of January. Now, here's the thing. Some of you, it's the first time you've ever read the New Testament in your life. And some of you, the first time you ever read the New Testament in your life, maybe it wasn't this year, but it was because of this church. And here's why. When you get connected, when you get engaged, when you get in a group, see, you'll win more people to Christ when you get connected in a church that is winning people to Christ. You understand that? The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they go except they be sent? You know, I get all sorts of emails from people, you know, out in internet world that listen to, you know, our sermons online. And they talk about, oh, I wish I could go soul winning. I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. But you know why they won't ever get anybody saved? Maybe they'll do it for a week or two, but they'll get cold and they'll stop. Here's why. Because we accomplish more together. That's why Paul said, striving together for the faith of the gospel. See, the benefit of being in a community, the reason that two are better than one is because you will have a greater reward for your labor. A group will step up your efforts. And here's the problem with the world's communities, is that your elk lodge or your baseball league or your club that you're in, here's what you gotta understand. Facebook is not going to help you get a better reward at the judgment seat of Christ from God. But you know what community will? The local church. Because as we strive together, the Bible says that we will have a good reward for their labors. A group can step up your efforts. Number two, look at verse number 10 there, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 10. Not only can a group step up your efforts, but a group can support your falls. A group can support your falls. Look at verse 10. For if they fall, notice what it says. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. You say, why is two better than one? Because if one falls, the one who hasn't fallen can help the one that fell get up. The one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. See, the good thing about a group, the good thing about a community, the good thing about a church community especially, is that we can help support you when you fall. You can have a community there, to be with you when you're not doing well, to help you along the way. This week, I had a call from Fred and Connie Ramirez, and I don't think they'll mind me saying this because I talked to them about it, but they haven't been to church in a couple of weeks, and we were talking, and he said, Pastor Connie, you know, and they're retired couple, they're not elderly, but you know, they're retired, and Connie had fallen a couple weeks ago and broke her arm, and then a week later, Fred was doing some work in his house there, and he fell and broke his ankle, so that, you know, one doesn't have an arm and the other one doesn't have a leg right now. And he's just telling me, and I said, man, I'm sorry, we'll be praying for you. And I told him, hey, you know, my wife is going to go around and try to get some of the ladies to maybe bring him some meals this week, you know. And by the way, if you'd like to help us with that, make sure you talk to my wife after the service. And you say, well, why would you do that? Here's why we do that. Because when you fall, literally, we want to help. But it's not just a physical fall. When you're not doing well, there's something about being in community. There's something about being engaged. There's something about being in a group where two is better than one, where if you fall, someone's there to pick you up. And we're talking here physically, Fred and Connie. You know, we love them physically. But hey, sometimes we fall spiritually. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need someone to come alongside and help us. And here's the problem that the community groups of this world do not offer. See, your friends at the bar, they don't care if your marriage is falling apart. You understand that? Your bowling league doesn't care if you relapsed. The Facebook doesn't care if your children are going wayward. It's a community, yes, and it provides fellowship, yes. But the problem is they do not provide accountability. But God created a community that not only helps you accomplish more with your life, but it'll be there to help you stand up when you fall. So we said, number one, a group, a community can help you step up your efforts. We said, number two, a group can support your falls. Number three, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Look at verse number 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Not only does a group help you step up your efforts, and not only does a group help support your falls, but a group can stimulate you. A group can stimulate your backsliding. The idea here, and it's interesting, I was studying for the sermon, and my sister and Jose were talking to me, and they gave me this illustration. I thought, man, that'll go perfect with my sermon. They were saying, a Christian is like a coal. You know, you ever go out and you grill, you know, and some of you have your gas propanes. You know, I like the old fashioned, just get the coals out there, you know, put the gas on there and fire that thing up, right? Now, here's the thing with a coal. When you've got a whole lot of them and they're all heated up and warm up, they'll stay hot for a long time. But you take one coal out of the bunch and lay it over here by itself, is it going to stay hot? It'll cool down. See, it's the same way with the Christian life. See, if two lie together, then they have heat. But as soon as you separate a Christian from its group, as soon as you separate its Christian, because we stimulate each other, we keep each other warm, we keep each other on fire. See, every once in a while you have a bad week, or you have a bad month, or you have a bad whatever, a bad year, and you're going through something, and you come and you get stimulated in the house of God with God's people in the congregation, and there is someone there to help you and say, hey, I'm here for you. Let me help you when you fall. Let's multiply our efforts. Let's get together and we'll heat each other up, and we'll warm each other up, and we'll encourage each other. You're there in the book of Ecclesiastes. Go to Proverbs. Right before Ecclesiastes, you got the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 27. This is a famous verse. Proverbs 27, look at verse number 17. Proverbs 27 and verse number 17. Proverbs 27 and verse number 17. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says this: iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. See, the people you are connected with will either make you better or they'll make you worse. They'll either sharpen you up, they'll either heat you up, they'll either warm you up. But if you separate yourself from the group you need to be in, see, here's what you got to understand. The world's communities offer fellowship, but no accountability. And God designed this community where He says, if you get connected, not only will you get fellowship, and not only will you get friendship, and not only will you get purpose, but we'll actually help you multiply your efforts, and we'll step up your efforts, and you'll accomplish more with your life, and you'll be a better husband than you would have been without it, and you will be a better wife than you would have been without the church. You'll raise better children than you would have raised on your own. You understand that? You will do more for the cause of Christ. And He says, we'll help you when you fall. He says, when you start getting cold, we'll stimulate you. We'll warm you up. We'll keep you warm. We'll make sure you're going. Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter number 10. If you start from the last book of the Bible, you got the book of Revelation, you got Jude, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, James, and Hebrews, all right? Hebrews is right before the book of James, towards the end there. Revelation, Jude, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and 1st, 2nd Peter are all small books. James, small book, and then you got the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 10. When you get to Hebrews, keep your finger or a bulletin or a ribbon, something in Hebrews, because we're going to leave it, and then we're going to come back to it later on, okay? Hebrews chapter number 10, and look at verse number 25. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. The Bible says this: not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, notice what it says, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, the Bible says that one of the reasons that we are to gather together, you know, you say, well, I can watch a televangelist, and can I just consider Joel Osteen my church? Can I just consider T.D. Jakes my church? Can I just consider? Here's why you can't consider someone you watch on TV your church, or on the internet your church, or whatever. Here's why. Because the purpose of church is not just to come and hear preaching, but it is to come together and exhort one another. And heat one another up, and help one another when we fall, and stimulate each other, and help us accomplish more for the cause of Christ. That's why we have a church. That's why we have a community. So we said, number one, a group can help step up your efforts. Number two, a group can support your fall. Number three, a group can stimulate your backsliding. Look at number four. Keep stay there in Hebrews 10, and go back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Look at verse number 12. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12 says this: and if one prevail against him, and if one prevail against him. So here you've got an individual who's picking a fight and trying to fight with another individual. And the Bible says, because remember, the idea is two is better than one. Why is two better than one? Because if one prevail against him, notice, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So you know why it's good to be in community? You know why it's good to be in a group? You want to know why two is better than one? Because you got to understand this, and you may or may not understand this, and you may or may not care. But when you got saved, you got enlisted into the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that means is you got put into a battle. We are in a spiritual warfare. There is a battle. There is a fight. The Bible says that Satan walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, Jesus said to Peter, Satan had desired to have thee, that he may sift you as wheat. And here's what you got to understand. You and I are in a battle. Satan wants to destroy your marriage. Satan wants to destroy your children. Satan wants to destroy everything that you have in life that you hold here. He wants to take it from you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to tempt you and cause you to fall so that you'll fail at life. But here's what you got to understand. When you are in a community, if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him. When you are in a community, you can withstand and you can resist the devil. You can withstand and you can fight the devil and fight the attacks of this world and fight. See, when you're in a community, here's what you understand. And it's interesting that in Peter tells us that Satan is like that roaring lion. Because if you ever watch a lion as they're attacking a herd, they don't go for the biggest, baddest, you know, whatever it is that they're attacking. You know what they go for? The smallest, the weakest, the injured, the one that's kind of in a group and not that connected, the one that's kind of off to the side. And see, the thing that breaks my heart as a pastor is that when people are struggling and when people are having issues and they're being attacked by the devil, it breaks my heart that our natural thing that we want to do is just kind of withdraw ourselves. And you start having problems. And when you start having problems, what you should do is just say, I need more church. I need more community. I need more help. I need more God. I need more friends. I need more to be around people. But people struggle and you lose their job or you lose your house or you lose your marriage or whatever it is that you're going through. Your health is bad. And then we withdraw ourselves. And what you don't understand is when you withdraw yourself, you put yourself at the place where Satan is more likely to snatch you up. Because the Bible says that two is better than one. You say, why? Because if he prevail against you, two will withstand him. The Bible teaches that we were created for community. A group can step up your efforts. You will accomplish more with a group than you will accomplish by yourself. A group can support your falls. When you fall, they'll be there to help you get back up, to help you get back on your feet. A group can stimulate your backslide. You say, I'm getting cold. You say, it's not like I used to be. You get with that other individual and they'll warm you up. Hey, iron sharpeneth iron. A group can strengthen your weaknesses. Say, I'm a little weak in this area and I feel like I'm being attacked. But if you're by yourself, you're going to give in. But two is better than one because two shall withstand him. See, the idea is this, and there's only one real thought I want to give you this morning. We were created for community. That's why you've got like 12,000 friends on Facebook. Because there's something in you that desires that. There's something in you that wants that. That's why, you know, you say, well, I'm in this club, and I've got this hobby, and I've got this, and I've got that, and I've got all these things. But let me tell you something about yourself, and something about me, is that we all like community, and we all like friends. But here's what we don't like, accountability. See, the problem with Facebook and the problem with your bowling league or your whatever club, your little lodge that you go to or the bar you hang out with, is that those people aren't going to come up beside you when you're falling and put their arm around you and say, hey, I'm here for you. I want to help you get past this. Satan's attacking you, and I want to be there for you. I want to stimulate you. I want to pray for you. See, they don't care because here's what the world provides, community, but no accountability. And God says the best thing about community is the accountability it provides, where you can get alongside people that love you. See, a church can step up your efforts. You'll accomplish more. I promise you that you will have a better marriage, you'll raise better children, you'll do more with your life if you are connected into a church that preaches the Bible than you would by yourself. A church can support your falls. A church can stimulate your backside. A church can strengthen your weaknesses. But here's the problem. Don't get caught alone. When you need community, when you need someone, don't get caught alone. Notice Ecclesiastes chapter 4, look at verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 10. Notice what the Bible says. For if they fall, now notice, if they fall, two are better than one. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But notice what the Bible says. But woe. That word woe, whenever you read that in the Bible, you ought to just take a moment to step back and say, okay, this is a problem. When God says woe, he means, hey, stop for a moment and just be a little cautious here and realize this is important. He says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone. Why? When he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. See, the problem is this. If you're not in community, it's not something you can just do real quick. See, the thing about relationships is they take time to build. The thing about investing in your children is that you can't, when they're 23 years old and you've already wasted your life on yourself and you've wasted your life partying and ignoring your kids, and now you want to be that good parent, it's going to take some time to develop that relationship. It's going to take some time to rebuild that marriage. It's going to take some time to have that those relationships in your life. I had a call a couple of years ago. This was a couple of years ago. There was an elderly man that came to our church. He was a very old man. He came to our church one time on a Wednesday night. I remember he walked in. He came to church. He loved the service. He loved everything. Loved the preacher. He said, "This is so great." But he never came back. And that's pretty normal, you know. He never came back. And I remember he called me about 8 months later. And he said, "Pastor Jimenez, this is so-and-so." And I said, he said, "Do you remember me?" And he kind of gave me a few things. I said, "Oh, yeah, I remember you." I said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm doing good." He said, I'm retired." But he's not just retired. He was, up there in his age. And he said to me, he said, "I was wondering if there'd be some church people that'd be willing to come to my house every other week." At first he said every other day. Then he said every other week, but every other day, and spend a couple of hours with me because I'm lonely, and maybe they could take me around and help me get some groceries and help me do a few things. And I said, "Well, let me see what I can do." And I'll be honest with you, I tried to get people to go over there and stuff. I didn't try that hard, you say, "Well, why didn't you try that?" It's kind of hard. I mean, I walk up to you, "Hey, there's this guy, I don't know, he came to our church one time a year ago, and can you go spend 20 hours of your week with him?" It's just kind of odd, And I remember I said, "Hey, listen, we tried to work some things out. I went over there a couple times and things like that." But I remember he got upset. I remember being on the phone with me. And he got upset and he said, "I can't believe that Christians would not be willing to come out and spend time. I'm lonely and I need this." And I didn't say this to him, but here's what I was thinking to myself. You spent your youth, you spent your strength, you spent your life on you. You spent your life, he told me, I struggled with alcohol and I drank and I did this and I did that and blah, blah. And I just got to say, here's the thing, I'm not mad at you, but I'm just thinking, you spent your entire life developing no relationships, investing in no individual, just feeding your flesh, feeding yourself, and now you come to the end of your life and you're alone. Because here's the thing about relationships. You get out of them what you put into them. And people get upset, "Well, I don't understand why, no one came to my dad's funeral. Only three people were there." Maybe only three people felt enough of a connection with him to be there. See, what will tell the end of our lives is not what we live, but when we die. At your funeral, who will be there? At the end of your life, who will say, "So-and-so, they weren't perfect, but they invested in me, and they loved me, and they had a relationship with me, and one time I fell, and he helped me. And one time I got cold, and he stimulated me. And one time I was just struggling with this sin, and he came up alongside of me, and he helped me prevail against it." See, there's something about community, and there's something about the community that God established that Facebook just won't give you, that the bar just won't give you, that your club just won't give you. And it's community, yes, with accountability. And we want community. We want the friendships. But we don't want to invest. And we don't want to help. And we don't want to take the time to get to know people and love people and pray for people and be there for people. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10:25 says this, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." That word assembling there is the same word church, congregation. It's community. The Bible says that we ought not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And here's the sad part is, "as the manner of some is." That word manner means custom or pattern or habit. You know that some people have a habit of forsaking the assembling? Some people have a habit, they have a manner, they have a custom about themselves of not being connected and not being engaged into a church. Bible says, "Hey, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." See, here's what I want to explain to you. Here's what I want to challenge you. God, it's not perfect by any means. But God established a community called the local New Testament church. And he said, "You know what's great about this community? You know why two are better than one? You know why it's good for a man not to be alone? Because not just the fellowship, but the accountability that when you fall, they'll help you. When you get cold, they'll warm you up. When you're not there, they'll say, 'Hey, where you been? What you been up to? How can I help you? Where are you struggling? Let me help you fight that. And let's join forces together and accomplish more for the cause of Christ together than we ever could by ourselves.'" That's the best part of community. It's accountability. And it's really only found in the local New Testament church, because the truth of the matter is the world just doesn't really care about you. I often think of Jonah. Jonah found a bunch of friends to help him run away from God. But when the rubber hit the road, they threw him off the boat. You say, well, how do all these kids run around and they join these street gangs? You know why they join street gangs? Because they don't have a mom and they don't have a dad and they don't have a church and they don't have some Christian people that are willing to put their arms around them and say, hey, I'm your community. I'm here to help you. And they desire that. But they won't visit you when you're in the hospital. They won't visit you when you're in prison. But you know who will? A community like a church that cares about you, that offers with it accountability. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says this. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And I love this. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know what Solomon says? He says, two is better than one. He says, but three is even better. He said, hey, if two is better than one, three is better. And I would say this, if three is good, six is better. And if six is good, 20 is better. And if 20 is good, 80 is better. And if 80 is good, 120. Hey, the more the merrier, the more people you can get engaged in. So maybe you're here this morning and you have the manner of forsaking the assembly. This is not a priority to you to make it to church. I would encourage you to begin to take it seriously and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because one day you're going to need relationships and they won't be there. Maybe you say, well, I'm pretty consistent coming to church. I would encourage you, you ought to come to an evening service. You ought to come back tonight on Sunday night. You ought to come to a Wednesday night service. You say, well, I go to the evening service. Maybe you should go soul winning with us and help us multiply your effort so you can have a greater reward. Maybe you just should come to some of the activities. Maybe you're a man and you should come to the monthly activity or the every other month activity we have for the men's preaching night and get to know some of the men in the church. Maybe you ought to go to the next ladies' tea or the next ladies' Christmas party. Maybe you have the habit of just kind of coming to church and you don't talk to anybody, you show up late, you leave early. Hey, why don't you come a little early, stay a little late, get to know someone, ask somebody their name, get to know them and pray for them and develop relationships. Have someone over to your house, develop relationships, invest into people. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And at the end of the day, you may be calling somebody and saying, why are my 7,000 friends on Facebook not visiting me? And it's because community without accountability is worthless. But God says, I've created a community that offers those fellowships and those accountabilities. They'll help you rise when you fall. They'll help stimulate you when you get cold. They'll help multiply your efforts. They'll step up your game. They'll step up your effort. But he says, woe to him that is alone. So God gave you a community. What are you doing with it? Are you enjoying it? Are you taking advantage of it? Are you developing those relationships? Because the greatest community that ever existed is a local New Testament church. Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father.